have I told you lately that I love you? Seriously, have I? Today we're going to begin with a series of one another passages. They're numerous in the New Testament. And frankly, as I've studied these passages, I was convicted. I'm a marriage and family therapist, and I work with people, and I make it really important with the people that I work with to get to know them. I give them paperwork to fill out to assist with that. I frequently encourage them about how they're doing. The times I tell them I love them. I want them to know that I care for them. What's convicted me is that, unfortunately, I think I've been doing a better job caring about them than I have about you. But by God's grace, I'm learning, and perhaps you can learn with me. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank you that you give us mothers to love us, to care for us, to be there for us at times when nobody else is there, to stand with us, even at times in our foolishness, in fact, often in our foolishness. We're grateful that you function as a father, loving us as no mother has ever loved a child. And that's saying a lot, but it's true. We ask today, Lord, that we would learn from the love that you have for us. And not only would we pass it on to the mothers in our lives or the wives in our lives who mother us at times, but this be something that would be a persistent pattern with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Though today is not a Mother's Day sermon, however, there's so many lessons that we can learn from our mothers. My own mother died just 10 days before I turned 15. There were five of us. I was the second oldest. Within 6 months of my mother's death, my dad remarried. He married a lady with another five. And we were all thrown into a house. We weren't the Brady Bunch, and they were not the Brady Bunch parents. Their marriage was a disaster. Ultimately, all of us were kicked out of the house. My dad went back. I never returned. I was taken in by friends, neighbors, finally foster parents. In fact, in my senior year, when I graduated, I was living with a teacher from the high school. The same kind of thing happened to three of my siblings. The older brother initially ran away, and then he went to the Navy. Did we miss our mother? You bet. And I wanted to share with you that both myself and my siblings, we've talked about this, have agreed that we were able to see the love and nurturing and care of some people who otherwise would have been strangers. They demonstrated to me how to care. In short, they taught me many lessons in how to one another. Perhaps some of you have also learned similar lessons. So today, we'll be looking at a number of things. We're going to be looking at three main points. We're going to look at the foundation for one anothering. We'll be looking at the commands of one anothering. And finally, we'll be looking at the benefits of one anothering. So what is the foundation for our one anothering? Well, let us look at five verses, and you're not going to have enough time to look them up. If you want to catch me later on for what the verses are, you surely can. Initially, we want to look at John chapter 13, verse 34. This is Jesus himself, and he says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." John 13, 35. "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." John 15, 12. "This I command you, that you love one another." The foundation for our loving one another is God's love, which was demonstrated in his sacrificial death on the cross for us. And frankly, when we fail to recognize the depth of his love for us, our own love and forgiveness for others will be compromised. I was thinking in preparing for today about an episode when I was, I don't know the age, I was maybe 8, 9, 10, 11, something like that. And my brother and I had just gotten new coats. He got a green one, and I got a brown one. And they were really neat because you had a little kind of a metal clasp and you kind of stuck it in between and it looked so smart. That's how I thought it was. And I used to love wearing that to school and walking home proudly in it. One day, I came home and I managed to go in the background, to the backyard, and somehow, don't know how I did this, I started the backyard on fire, which quickly spread to the neighbor's yard. Do you know what I did with that fine brown coat? I took that brown coat off, and I was beating the fire out. Of course, I wasn't successful in doing that. But you know what happened after that? You know what happened to me? Shockingly, nothing. I don't remember getting in trouble. Amazing. And it wasn't like in our home, there wasn't room for discipline. There sure was. But not for that. There's a nice lesson in being loved and cared for. You may have your own stories. I think I'm going to have one right now if I don't fix this. Here we go. You hear me okay now? So having looked at the foundation, God's command to us to love one another, I'd like to look at some of the commands for one another. Romans 12:10. "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference for one another in honor." Be devoted. You know, I think we can tell when people are devoted to us. probably one of the better places we can find devotion is what we've spoken about the mothers in our lives, or the wives in our lives, the friends in our lives. Isn't it amazing how so oftentimes they're able to put us before them? They give a preference to us. Romans 12:16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. That's a problem for me. I oftentimes tell the people in my office that I think I'm funny, and then what I don't tell them is that I think I'm smart. Unfortunately, underneath that, sometimes smarter than them. This has happened to me with my wife, tragically. Don't be that way. Every one of these commands we're talking about, the way it works is that if God commands something, He has to empower it. Otherwise, He would indeed be mocking us, wouldn't He? I love this one. Romans 13:8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Think of that. Loving one another is a law to be obeyed. And we want to do that not in the spirit of a law, like keeping under 30 miles an hour on my street where you can get off and get tickets. It's not like that. It's because of the love that we know that has been given to us that we don't fall into that trap. We owe it to other people to love them, to reach out to them. Not being bigger or better than them. Romans 14:13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. Now, this is rather interesting because it says, let us not judge one another anymore. Isn't that sad? One of the things that we do, we're good at, is judging one another, looking down at them. And Paul seems to here acknowledge that at times he's done that in the past, as all of us have. This we can call on God's help for, and He'll help us. Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Or, if you're going to bear someone's burden, I think that anticipates that you're going to have to have found out what their burden was. Somehow they need to have trusted you enough so that they can ask for help. Why would they trust us? Because they see us as a one another person. Ephesians 4:2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. This part here, showing tolerance for one another, if you look it up, the reference gives you put up with someone about something or some things. Now it's not in like, I got to put up with them. But it's framed by humility and gentleness. Because we know who we are. We know how we are. We know that we desperately need a Savior. Not just for eternity, but day to day. Ephesians 4:25. With all humility and gentleness, with patience. We already did this one. We're going to go to Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth each one of you with your neighbor, for we are members of one another. This brings in this idea of the body. We're members of one another. We want to have people trust us. And they want to trust us too, I think. How do we do that? We tell them the truth. So what truth would that be? Well, one of those truths, I think, would be it's not as good as it might look. I'm struggling. I'm failing. I'm hurting. I'm confused. I have this sadness in me. We can do that if we see ourselves as members of a body, not greater than, not necessarily at times even equal to, but oftentimes seeing ourselves as a servant by telling the truth. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. I think that the kindness and tender-heartedness comes from a recognition of who you are. You know what you're like. You know your secret thoughts, at times your desires, the things you've done, the things you've considered, and you're grateful for that. It's important to you, it's crucial to know that you're forgiven by God. And the more I know that, the more I understand the depth of what God has forgiven me for, the more likely I'm going to also be passionate about loving other people, just like, or as close as I can get to God's love. Philippians 2, verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. This puts the lie to the popular concept of the day about the importance of self-esteem, i.e. loving yourself before you love God and neighbor. Frankly, that's hogwash, but it's popular. People take some strange comfort in it. But indeed, we're commanded to not see ourselves as bigger than, better than, more than. But in fact, less than. I think Paul sets a nice marker for us when he says, he refers to himself as the greatest of sinners and the least of the apostles. Finally, Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. It's a command. And the command here is to pause, take a moment, and ponder today, any day, perhaps especially on Sunday when we gather. How today, Lord, can I lift someone up, make a difference. Encourage them, love them, stimulate them, provoke them to loving you. Well, frankly, there's much more to be said about these one another commands, and we'll leave that for another time. So let's now look at the benefits of one anothering. The first benefit is that you'll have a distinctive life. You will be known as a disciple of Christ and a person who truly loves his neighbors. John 13:35. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Secondly, your life will be sacrificial as noted by your devotion to love, to the love of one another. Frankly, when I think of this particular verse, the first person that comes to mind is Eunice Herbold. What a marker she has of being devoted. She spans the gamut in terms of the people that she has reached out from, the people in Africa to today in the nursing home where she resides. It's her mission field. And every time somebody comes in her life, she becomes her mission field. If you haven't gotten to know Eunice, then you've missed out watching someone who divorced herself to loving others. Thirdly, your life will stand out in stark contrast with the world because of your selflessness. Philippians 2:3. You're nothing from selflessness or empty conceit, but humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. We saw that a moment ago. But you'll be a standout. Not because of your foolishness, and we see plenty of that. We see it in your own lives. We see it, man, oh man, do we see it on TV with celebrities and politicians. But we can have a reputation for our selflessness, how we care for others. Fourthly, you'll be a model in encouraging love and good deeds. Not because you're trying to stand out and make sure everybody knows that I love everybody and you announce it. See how I love everybody. It's not that. It's your demeanor and the quiet love that you do in the places where no one sees it. Number five, you'll be noted for your honesty and trustworthiness in the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:25. Again, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor. We are members of one another. Telling the truth. At times, reporting about how you struggle, maybe in the form of a confession. Or maybe someone needs not only a little encouragement, they might need a little bit of admonition. Which Paul talks about. He says, night and day did I not admonish you with tears. That kind of loving truthfulness. Number six. You'll be known for your willingness to take on the difficulties and struggles of others. You'll have a reputation of the best kind. Like Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. You'll be an available person. People will count on you. In their difficult times, they know, I can go to Eunice. I can go to Roger, I can go to Phil, Cora, Paula, Hannah, Karen, Kelly. I mean, there's people that we know that we can go to. Those are the people that we're talking about because You guys practice these things. Finally, your lifestyle will be one of worshiping God. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Over and over again, and we haven't exhausted these verses on one another at all. We'll be loving other people. We'll be worshiping God. And this is in no way to diminish our worship when we sing and listen and sing together and love one another with that, but let us not forget that every time, whether it's here, it's at home, at work, with your neighbors, anybody, when you are loving others in the manner that we have been speaking about today, you will be in the midst of worshiping God. So how do we do these things? Here are three simple suggestions. To begin with, go beyond simply asking, "How are you?" It would be better to ask, "How has God blessed you this week?" Or, "May I pray for you about something you're struggling with?" When I've done this, I have watched and heard people say yes. And often they go to tears. Or you could simply tell someone you love them. And if they'll let you, give them a hug. Or thirdly, you could simply say, "How can I help you today?" There's other things too. So today we've talked about the foundation for one anothering, the commands of one anothering, and the benefits of one anothering. And frankly, in studying these verses about loving and caring for one another, I thought of so many of you. I think of you today. Thank you for being who you are. Your lives encourage me. I look forward to watching all of you increasingly love one another to God's glory. So, have I told you lately that I love you? I do. Sincerely, I do. Before I close, I want to leave you with two questions. In fact, I have inserted into the bulletin a couple of questions that you can look at. And please take the time, having looked at them, to consider answering them. The first one is, who do I know here today who might need some one anothering? Ponder that. Give it some thought right now. Two, who in my life am I grateful for one anothering me? Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank you that your love for us is beyond what we can imagine. We thank you for the people in our lives who have loved us, who've been obedient, who've worshiped you by loving us. We ask, Lord, that increasingly as we understand the love you have for us, that we might spring forth in loving one another, that it might show in our intentions, that we might be people who are trusted, have a reputation for loving one another. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.